from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. Chloe, August 6th. Quick run through 10 health stories. Let's start with the longevity piece. Let's get into it. First, from New Atlas. Lamborghini pays homage to past great with new Revuelto edition. So, you know how Lamborghini's always drawing from their past for new ideas. This time, they're paying homage to the Miura, which is basically the car that started the supercar revolution. The new Revuelto edition is a nod to the iconic model from the 60s. It's got a similar design language, with sharp lines and a sleek profile. But they're not just copying the Miura. They've also added some modern touches to make it feel fresh. The Revuelto edition is part of the bigger Revuelto lineup, which is a hybrid supercar with a V12 engine. The edition itself is a limited run, so it's not like you'll see it on every Lamborghini lot. They're keeping it exclusive, which is fitting given the Miura's own limited production run back in the day. The Miura was a game changer when it came out, and Lamborghini's clearly trying to recapture some of that magic with the Revuelto edition. Whether they succeed or not remains to be seen, but it's definitely an interesting take on their heritage. Next. Second, from Science Alert. A key meat protein has been grown in lettuce for the first time. Eating meat is consistently shown to be one of the worst things we can do for the environment as consumers, due to the outsized negative impacts animal agriculture has on land, water and energy use, and greenhouse gas emissions. Despite this, people all over the world continue to eat meat, due to taste preferences, cultural habits, or for the nutritional benefits it can provide. Up next, third, from Big Think, is the universe truly infinite in size? 13.8 billion years ago, the most consequential event in our entire universe occurred, as cosmic inflation came to an end and the hot Big Bang emerged in its aftermath. The conditions at that moment were that the universe was filled with matter, antimatter, and radiation, and existed in an ultra-hot, ultra-dense, but rapidly expanding and cooling state. And then? Fourth, from the Forbidden Files, your network is no longer your net worth. We live in the weirdest time in human history. I mean that. Not even as a hook to get you engaged. I mean that as a fact. If you're young like me, you know that feeling. The low humming sound of the world slowly squeezing down on you. Like everything is speeding up and you're falling behind and you can't even tell where the finish line is anymore. And it makes sense that it feels that way because so much is thrown at you from everywhere. Next, fifth, from Astral Codex 10. Open questions on open weights. Open Weights AI is basically the same idea as open source software. Anyone can download the model's weights and run it themselves. A coalition of big tech firms, Microsoft, Nvidia, OpenAI, Intel, Amazon, Meta, Hugging Face and many others, signed a letter backing that openness, arguing it keeps AI in users' hands instead of locked away by a few corporations. Critics worry that free access removes any gatekeeping, making it easier for bad actors to use the models for hacking, harassment, or even bioweapon advice. They point to recent demonstrations where AI can already help with sophisticated cyber attacks, and they fear a future where anyone can weaponize the tech. Supporters counter that bans only push the capability into the shadows, where only criminals would have it. They say open models let defenders also use the same tools to protect themselves, and that the risk of a total AI takeover is still speculative. Current closed source models are only about 6 months ahead of the best open ones, giving us a warning window. The balance now is uncertain. Most AI safety groups stay neutral, and the industry hasn't reached a consensus on regulation. The practical question is whether we should wait for the technology to evolve and address risks as they appear, or act preemptively before the first serious misuse shows up. Up next, sixth, from EOS.org. climate change made this summer's Canadian wildfires. Twice as likely, wildfires in the Canadian provinces of Ontario and the Northwest Territories have burned more than 3.9 million hectares this summer, prompted widespread evacuation orders, and created poor air quality for not only Canadians, but more than 120 million people across the Midwestern and Northeastern United States. The fires spread exceptionally quickly, stressing the resources of local response agencies. About 700 fires are still active across Canada. And then, seventh, from fizz.org, powerhouses for fake meat. Muscle protein can now be grown in chloroplasts of lettuce and tobacco plants. So, you know how there's been a push for plant-based meat alternatives lately? Well, scientists have found a way to grow muscle protein in the chloroplasts of lettuce and tobacco plants. This protein is basically the building block of meat, so it's a game changer for the fake meat industry. The idea is that these plants can be used to produce the protein needed for plant-based meat products, which could reduce the demand for land and water used in traditional livestock farming. It's also a more sustainable way to produce protein, since the plants can be grown with less water and no fertilizers. Now, this isn't a new concept. Scientists have been working on this for a while. But recently, a study published in the journal Nature Communications showed that it's actually possible to produce high-quality muscle protein in these plants. The protein is similar to what's found in animal muscle tissue, which is a big deal for the fake meat industry. The researchers used a process called chloroplast engineering to insert the genes responsible for muscle protein production into the plants. They then grew the plants in a controlled environment and harvested the protein. The results were impressive. The protein was of high quality and could be used in a variety of plant-based meat products. This technology has the potential to make plant-based meat alternatives more affordable and accessible to consumers. It could also help reduce greenhouse gas emissions from livestock farming, which is a major contributor to climate change. Next, eighth, from Science Alert. Ever experienced something you can't explain? Detailed study investigates how people deal with the uncanny. The study is a large-scale questionnaire survey. Over 5,000 Brazilian adults answered a 47-item version of the inventory of non-ordinary experiences. It's not an experiment or a meta-analysis, just a cross-sectional snapshot of how people describe and interpret those weird moments. More than half of respondents said they'd had at least one of the 38 listed experiences, things like hearing a voice, seeing a vision, or feeling a presence. Most of these episodes happened while they were fully awake, often alone, and typically lasted only a few minutes or less. People usually reported them once or a few times, and the majority experienced them as adults rather than during childhood. When asked who or what caused the events, the biggest group said nothing caused it, followed by a belief in a deity or spirit. About a third thought it was random chance, while a similar share saw it as a sign or message. Most participants described the moments as neutral or positive, with joy or well-being reported more often than fear or discomfort. Overall, the researchers suggest that such experiences are fairly common, generally not linked to mental illness, and can even foster personal growth. They stress that if an episode disrupts daily life, it's worth talking to a trusted professional. Up next, ninth, from New Atlas. Adorable tiny vinyl turntable spins 4-inch records. So there's this tiny vinyl format that came out last year, and the cool thing about it is that the 4-inch records can play on pretty much any regular turntable. Each record has two tracks, with up to 4 minutes of audio per side, and they're traditionally pressed and numbered. The best part is that you don't need any special equipment to play them, as long as your turntable lets you manually place the stylus. This makes it really easy to play these tiny records on any turntable you already have at home. It's a pretty small but neat idea, and it's interesting to see how people are experimenting with this new format. The records themselves are pretty adorable, and it's nice that they're not limited to some special device. I think it's worth noting that this isn't a huge game changer or anything, but it's a fun little development for people who are into vinyl. If you're someone who collects records or just likes listening to music on a turntable, you might want to check this out. Overall, it's just a cute and portable way to listen to music on vinyl, and it's nice that it's not limited to some special device. And then, 10th, from Deconstructionology with Jim Palmer. Existential Health White Papers, Volume 2, Applied Domains of Existential Health. The author, drawing on the influence of Paulo Freire, emphasizes that education is not just about transmitting knowledge, but also about forming the person. They suggest that traditional education often reinforces existing structures of power and neglects the development of essential capacities for human flourishing. The author proposes that existential health can inform and improve education by prioritizing the cultivation of these capacities. The author notes that the world has changed dramatically since Freire's time, with the rise of digital technologies and algorithmic media. They argue that education must adapt to address the unprecedented levels of loneliness, anxiety, and existential disorientation faced by young people today. The author asks fundamental questions about the purpose of education, the kind of person it should cultivate, and the capacities required for human flourishing. The existential health framework posits that human flourishing depends on more than psychological well-being or intellectual achievement, but rather on the quality of our relationship with reality itself. The author suggests that education should become the first applied domain of existential health, as it is where the developmental foundations for navigating existence are first established. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. If this saved you time, the full feed is free at storyflow.com.